You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to the Locked On MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On MLB, or you can follow me at Sully Baseball, or on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. You can get Locked On MLB on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Player FM, or wherever you get podcasts. You can go to the website lockedonmlb.com to hear the show directly. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On MLB. Check out all the other shows on Locked On and get your team every day and the best takes from the best experts for your teams. Absolutely. Welcome to the 8th day of April 2018. Monday, after a wonderful weekend of baseball. What did we learn? What did we learn from the games this weekend? Well, we learned that if it wasn't for Mitch Moreland, the Red Sox would probably be, 1-10 at this point. Two late home runs, one against Seattle, one against Arizona, have accounted for two of the Red Sox's three victories. In fact, all three of their wins have been from late rallies. Yes, a bounce here, a bounce there, a couple of those losses would be wins, but if it weren't for those late rallies, they could very well be 0-11. They're not. It's just an 11-game stretch where they're playing on the road, on the West Coast. All this is the bit of adversity that the team didn't have at any point last year. It's just magnified because it's all the games we've played. We've also learned that any hope that Red Sox fans had that the Yankees were going to be, well, upset again by Baltimore after the Orioles beat them in the first series of the season, well, those were dashed. I had high hopes when the Orioles took an early 3-0 lead on the Yankees in the first of the three games, and after that, it was a Yankee slugfest. We also learned that something that I came up with a couple of episodes ago, the idea that a team could wave the white flag instead of bringing in a position player to pitch, well, I stand by that. Both the Red Sox and the Orioles this weekend had to bring in a position player to pitch because the games were blowouts. Did anyone really need to see that? We've learned that the Detroit Tigers are winning games. Hell, they're on a 5-game winning streak. They're in first place. We could start talking about the magic number with the Tigers. And oh yeah, every Cleveland pitcher is going to strike out at least 10 batters a game. It's just the way it is. No matter who they put on the mound, Clevinger, Carrasco, Bauer, Kluber, everyone they throws a gem. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Twins won a couple of tough games. The Kansas City Royals, they were 2-1 at one point. All I know is they've lost their last 6 games, and that's all that matters. The Seattle Mariners are still hot. If you're expecting Tim Beckham to slow down anytime soon, that's not going to happen. We also learned that the A's and the Astros could play extraordinarily entertaining games, and yet it was the Astros who won all 3 of them. And the last one on the stupidest way you can win a game, which is on the bases loaded walk. Seriously, chuck it down the middle of the plate, especially if there are 2 outs. If there are 2 outs and Altuve swings away, the worst thing can happen is a walk-off grand slam. But other things can happen, including a catch, a ground out. He's a little late. He's a little early. Throw it down the middle of the plate, Trinan. What else did we learn? We learned that the Mets and the Nationals are 2 teams that are pitching heavy, but they can still get involved in massive slugfests. Since the recording of this podcast, I think the 2 teams have combined for 5 more home runs. As it stands, the Phillies remain on top of the East, and the Mets and the Nats are hovering around there. The Braves won a walk-off against the Marlins. The Marlins won 1 gutty game, but they're a minor league team. We've also learned that Christian Yelich is good. boy, the prospects that the Marlins got for Yelich had better pan out, because as it stands right now, this is an absolute steal for the Milwaukee Brewers. We've learned that the Reds and the Pirates have a little fight in them as they got into a big bench-clearing brawl. I like the fact that it was a team wearing bright red brawling with a team wearing bright yellow. It was very easy to tell which team was which as they were fighting. And while the Reds have a lot of fight in them, they don't have a lot of wins in them. They won the opening game, and the next eight games they've lost are on an eight-game losing streak. The last time the Reds started a season 1-8 was 1995. That year, they went all the way to the National League Championship Series. The Dodgers keep winning. The Diamondbacks show that they can still hit. And the Giants show that, man, they can't. They can't hit a lick. And they're off to a really rotten start, even though they gutted out one win against Tampa Bay. And Bruce Bochy's last season as a Giant is starting to look a little desperate. They just swing and miss at everything. And coming into San Francisco after the Rays left, well, today's game, the Padres are coming into town. And with that, I'm going to make a prediction. With the Giants' bats so dead, I predict that Eric Lauer will throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. Write it down. Today, Eric Lauer will throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. And of course, the other series was between the Rangers and the Angels. I keep wanting to call them the California Angels. I don't care how long that's happened, that I'm going to still call them that. And man, Mike Trout keeps hitting them out. I saw once that score was 0-0. And then I checked my app, my MLB.com app, and I saw it was 4-0 Angels. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, look, it was a grand slam by Trout, I bet. And I checked, grand slam by Trout. He's playing on a different level. He's absolutely playing on a different level. Batting .393, OPS of 1.571 or something like that. More home runs, more big RBI. And a lot of people complaining that they can't see him on TV because of where he plays. And that's going to be the topic of what I talk about when we come back from the break. Remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On MLB on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with a personally curated playlist and new daily features every single day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On MLB. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so Mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready-to-go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra, and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this is just isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door in discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. Now, one of the complaints that I heard a lot when Mike Trout signed his long-term deal to stay in Anaheim was that baseball's biggest star was kind of being put into Siberia, that away from the national media spotlight. Colin Cowherd, who's not known for being a great baseball mind, said that it was a terrible thing for the game. That now no one's going to know who Mike Trout is. No one's going to see Mike Trout. And you heard similar things when Manny Machado signed with San Diego. It was like, oh, he's this big star, but he's going to go play in San Diego. Who the hell is going to see him? Well, people in San Diego are going to see him. People in Anaheim are going to see Mike Trout. But I understand the point to a degree. I understand the point that you have two of the biggest stars are going to be playing at least the next 5 years. That's when Machado has his opt-out. And let's face it, if he's still a superstar, then he's going to opt out. But for the next bunch of years, they're going to be playing in markets that, well, they play late. They play late. Now, when they say they play late, you're really saying code, it's late for the East Coast. Is there an East Coast bias? Of course there's an East Coast bias. I lived in the East Coast. I see the bias. The media bias is there. Certainly the sports media bias is there. I think it's less pronounced now than it used to be when ESPN was the single most powerful entity in sports. Yeah, it was all consolidated in the Northeast. But guess what? Baseball is a business, and there's a reason why teams from the Northeast got the most attention. Because they have the most fans, and they have the most fans that are spread across the country. There are not a lot of transplanted Angels fans. There are not a lot of transplanted Padres fans. There are a lot of transplanted Red Sox fans, like me. I don't live on the East Coast anymore. I have no intention of ever living on the East Coast anymore. But we stay loyal to our teams. And you see Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies, Mets. Cubs aren't East Coast, but there's tons of Cubs fans sprinkled across. That's why they focused on those teams, because they have the most eyeballs. They have the most interest. You can see it. But if baseball wants to market its stars, I can see the problem. The problem is two of its biggest stars, its absolute biggest star, its superstar, it's LeBron, it's Tom Brady, plays just outside of Disneyland, and most of his games start at 10 p.m. on the East Coast. And Manny Machado, who is an extraordinary talent, he had a few home runs over the weekend, he should be either someone who is a big fan favorite or, and this can be just as important, a big villain. Now, Bryce Harper's going to get a lot more of attention because he plays in Philadelphia. He's going to get a lot of those early start times. And Bryce Harper is embracing the role of being the villain. But how do you remedy this problem? How do you remedy the problem of making people on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone see some of the best players playing? If they're starting at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock in Chicago, that's when the game is starting. That's when it's the first inning. They're never going to see Mike Trout play big games. And even if they're playing their team, let's say the Red Sox are playing the Angels, or the Phillies are playing the Padres, or something like that, those games are starting in Philadelphia at 10. No one's going to see them. There was a wonderful game just last week between the Red Sox and the A's that went extra innings. I was watching it here because I'm in California. The game was playing till like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning in Boston. Nobody saw this great ending. Is there a solution to this? How do we remedy this? The remedy, in my opinion, is kind of simple. See, I have no attachment to the 7 p.m. start time. Do you know why? I live on the West Coast. Games on the East Coast, do you know when they start here? They start at 4. 4 in the afternoon. And do you know what? They're the best. 4 o'clock start times are the best. Do you know why? Because when you're driving home from work, the game is already on. By the time you're sitting down for dinner, it's the 6th or 7th inning. And guess what? Those are the best times to watch the game, is when it's unfolding. Have you ever heard anyone say, hey, the game's on, it's in the first? Do you remember what happened in the first? Oh man, the first was great. Remember that World Series game? Remember how it began? No, you think about how it ends. You think about those middle to final innings. So why not start the games on the West Coast early? At 4 o'clock. If the Yankees are playing the Angels in Anaheim, guess what? 4 o'clock start. But Sully, what about the attendance? Well, make some sort of attendance incentive. Seriously. Make an attendance incentive. If you get there before 5:30, you get a bobblehead. People love bobbleheads. I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of bobbleheads. But for whatever reason, you can say, hey, Philadelphia, it's Steve Jelt's bobblehead day. And all of a sudden, people are lined around like, I want a Steve Jelt's bobblehead. I don't get it. But there are ways you could do it, especially in the games when it's the West Coast versus the East Coast. Maybe if it's Dodgers, Giants, you know, if it's Angels, Mariners, or whatever. All right, you start at 7 o'clock then. We're not playing to the East Coast there. But if you're playing to the East Coast and you want to have those East Coast eyeballs, we're used to early start times. The Oscars start at 5 here. The Super Bowl starts at 5 here. World Series games start at 5 here. And it's great because the game ends or the show ends or whatever, and it's not 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a reasonable time. So if you're worried about the East Coast watching some of these games, adjust. Adjust and have the game start at 7, like it's a normal game. No one ever complains that a Red Sox-Yankee game starts at 7 o'clock at night. Well, now a Red Sox-Angel game will start at 7 o'clock at night for Boston. 4 o'clock in California. And we just show up a little early. And so if you're saying, okay, we have to sacrifice something, it's either people on the East Coast seeing the ending or the people on the West Coast seeing the beginning, cut out the beginning. Seriously, that to me is the easiest solution in the world. Nobody ever remembers how a ball game begins. Think about the best games that you ever saw, the games that mean the most to you. Do you remember how they begin? Sometimes, can you even remember who the starting pitchers were? Red Sox fans, without looking it up, who was the starting pitcher of Game 4 of the 2004 ALCS? The Dave Roberts stolen base game. Without looking it up, who was it? It was Derek Lowe. How many of you thought it was someone else? How many of you shrugged and said, gee, I can't remember? You don't remember the beginning. I bet you don't remember who the Yankees starting pitcher that day was. It was El Duque Hernandez. But the point is, we remember the Dave Roberts stolen base. We remember the Ortiz home run to end it. You get people watching the endings of the game, the walk-offs. When you see highlights, you say, oh, show the highlight of that second inning catch or the big home run in the ninth. You want to get people watching the big events in the ninth. And if that means starting the game a little earlier so people on the West Coast miss the beginning, that's fine. You seen Dodger games? People show up late all the time. Now they'll be showing up in the sixth and leaving in the ninth. That's still fine. They draw great in Los Angeles. They have great crowds in Anaheim. And if you do it a little earlier and we can get home a little earlier. When I go to work, I have a job that's not locked on MLB. I have to be at my job and the first number on the clock is a 7. So I got to get up a little early. So if you could tell me that these games are going to be ending 9 o'clock at night, boom, I'm in. Adjust. As I said a few podcasts ago, baseball is entertainment and content. And so adjust for the maximum number of eyeballs who will like the game. And if you're trying to market the game and make people like Mike Trout and Manny Machado as famous as LeBron James and Stephen Curry, then you've got to adjust how people watch the game and think about their viewing habits and stop being so, bullheaded that, well, we got to start at 7 o'clock. It's the West Coast. Why? Show me where in the Constitution it says that. Adjust a little bit, see more eyeballs, and who knows? More people having memories of Mike Trout and Manny Machado and say, man, I saw the end of that game. It was pretty cool. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, all those places. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On MLB. Leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts and iTunes and help spread the word. And remember to check out the other baseball podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, including Locked On Rangers. Tomorrow, Morgan Price of Locked On Rangers will be my guest on the podcast, so check that out. Until then, this is Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.